Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 70, a special episode live from Microsoft Tech Ed in Orlando. Joining me today is Brian Posey. How you doing, Brian?
Oh, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks again for coming back on the podcast. You were on, I guess it was in September, we were in Redmond, and it was at the Windows Server 8 developer preview launch type of event. And wow, this week is all about Windows 8, Windows Server 8. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. This week is a blur.
Yeah, this is my first tech ed. Now, I know that's not the case for you.
No, I think I've made every one since 98.
Wow, that is wicked. And it's kind of cool, actually. They have all the book bags all the way back to 1993.
Yeah,
did you
I know
see
it.
That?
I saw that.
That's kind of cool. The graphics have changed over the years.
Yeah, it really takes you back, though.
Yeah, it does. It does. So, you know, I guess I don't really know what the big theme is. In terms of a single product, it's Windows 8, Windows Server 8, it's Hyper-V3. You know, there's a lot of things going on. You know, this is up there with all the big shows. You know, I've been to VMworld, I've been to some other big world, you know, type of shows. This is right up there with it. And, you know, have any of the keynotes, like, struck you with anything that you've seen so far this week, Brian?
You know, I have to admit the keynotes were a little bit disappointing. The first keynote tended to be geared more towards the developers, and a lot of their demos failed. And then the one yesterday was geared almost more towards the end users, I thought, even though this is a technical conference. Mm-hmm. There was a great deal of time spent on how to use a mouse, how to get around the Windows 8 interface. It was kind of disappointing.
Well, that's interesting. I have demo sympathy. I've had it happen. Sometimes it goes wrong. I understand that. But then in the mass communication, you know, it's really tough when you get the whole crowd. And then, honestly, to be fair, how long I've been playing with Windows Server 8 for a while, and then you've been probably playing with it for a while as well. So it's not as new to us. So it is a learning curve, though. Right?
Yeah, that's true. It's definitely a learning curve.
But, you know, I went to a few sessions, right? My main interests around Hyper-VR3. And then really what has been kind of created and some other things have been enabled really around the new storage technologies that are coming from Hyper-V. I went to a session yesterday. We were talking about Unmap and Trim and ODX, all that good stuff. Have you seen any of that, read about it, played with it, any of those technologies?
Oh, yeah, the ODX. That is a very welcome addition.
Yep. That's going to... I had to kind of explain it to somebody, and... You know, the purists out there would tell me I'm wrong, but I said, really, it's loosely equivalent to VMware's VAAI, but the best part is it's not specifically required for VMs, right? So it's Windows.
Yeah, it's at the Windows layer, yeah. From what I understand.
Yep.
And for anybody who's not familiar with it, it's essentially hardware offloading for storage, so you can offload copy processes to the storage level so that your server doesn't have to get involved.
Yep. Yeah, and it also... The Unmap and Trim, which I don't know if that's not part of ODX. It's a separate family of functionality. That's a great way to decrease VHD usage, right? Because, you know, you don't want to just assume that storage always goes up. It usually does, but sometimes you might have a data profile that buffers up some stuff and it goes away. Well, that's a technology that can actually return that storage to the SAN. Good stuff. How about, you know, Hyper-V in your... observations yet this week, maybe in the press briefings, have you anything new caught your eye with it, or are you just still getting excited, can't wait? What's your take on it?
Oh, definitely can't wait. It's a huge improvement for what we've got now with Hyper-V.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really seen anything new this week, just more demos of things that had been previously announced.
Yeah, and you know, that's a good point, because when it comes to early access, and let's go back to September, right, I don't think anything new has shown up since then. Right, they're on it, right, on these features. You know, they've released what they previewed, what they're going to be having for this new release. We've seen it, and it's been very visible to us. But two things: nothing new has come in and nothing has gone out.
Oh, that's important.
It is, because, you know, it's one of those mad races to the finish line, and if you're not going to make the date, you know, you start taking things out that are slowing you down. So,
or things that don't work. We all remember what happened with the Windows Vista file system.
Yikes. Speaking of file system, have you played with the resilient file system, ReFS?
Not nearly as much as I would like to have.
Yeah. I went to a session just now about that. In fact, Brian was so nice to kind of jump on the podcast here. We just bumped into him on the escalator. I'm like, what are you doing? So here we are. Anyways, I just came out of the ReFS session, and, you know, it's just all the way down the line in storage and networking especially, they've really just really brought these features. And, you know, the Hyper-V networking, it's I don't know how I'm going to keep up with all this stuff.
Like you said earlier, it's a learning curve.
It is a learning curve.
But, you know, the other thing that's really impressed me, too, is all of the new security features regarding Windows 8, all of the things that they're doing to maintain its integrity against viral infections.
And you know what? The ReFS session integrity was iterated over and over again because user error, applications go awry, you name it. There's a need for that. We can really kind of demand more out of our file systems. And I know I've messed stuff up, but I'm in the backup business, so I'm okay. I don't have any problems. No, I do. I've had to restore many a time. So, you know, this event, you know, I've been busy at the Veeam booth. You've been busy talking to everyone that you've been talking to. But I think that the vibe of the attendees, I love going up and down the escalators because you can hear them talking. And they're excited for this stuff. I mean, I've not known anyone coming out, you know, not very excited for what they're seeing with Windows Server 8 and Hyper-V specifically. Those are the sessions I've been around. Has that been your observation as well?
For the most part, yeah. I heard one guy yesterday saying Windows 8's a joke. You know, it's pathetic. But I have to wonder if that guy's on crack or what. Because, I mean, we've got really, really good stuff coming.
Yeah, and that was... There is a big stink, especially on... now, you know, I've messed this up. When I say I've become better about it, but there's Windows Server 8, you know, the server operating system, then Windows 8... the client operating system, which has a lot of optimized gestures and display technologies related to, like, tablets, mobile devices. Is it the same OS that's going to run on the new phones? Is that right?
For the most part, yes. Yeah. From what I'm hearing, it's going to be something they're calling Windows RT. It's Windows Runtime. It's what they're going to run on the ARM tablets, and I'm hearing that that's also going to run on the phones.
Gotcha. And if I remember right, It's got some limitations, the RT, right? Like, you can't join it to a domain.
Right.
Darn it, that's so...
Yeah, no, I thought they really dropped the ball on that one. They should have given it domain joining ability so that you can manage it with System Center. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they're pushing Windows Intune as a management solution for that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, you know, it's also important to note that this is the first release of this type of Windows. That is the, quote-unquote, same OS that's, you know, on your desktop to your handheld device. And who's to say that doesn't change in the future, or service pack, or whatever, or user outcry, or maybe people skip it, you know, whatever. It's one of those things where, you know, this is what it is now. Keep our eyes tuned to the future.
Yeah, and, you know, there's really a couple of things that they're doing that I haven't really heard anybody talking about that I think are going to be huge for the way that they're releasing Windows. One is with Windows 8, the client version. They're offering something called Windows to Go. It's the ability to install Windows to a USB drive so that you can boot any PC that has USB boot capabilities off a pristine copy, take it with you wherever you go. You know, and they're advertising that as good for high security environments or, you know, provisioning consultants with a corporate desktop or military uses, and that's all great, but something that I've been thinking about is it's going to be great for hardware testing, especially at the desktop level, because, you know, before, the only way to truly know if your hardware was going to work was to deploy it.
Yeah, true.
You know, and then if something goes belly up, you got to roll back. You know, now if you want to do your testing, you'll be able to just use a USB copy, load it up, make sure all the drivers work and that sort of thing, and you're good to go.
That's awesome, right? And you could maybe install like a, you know, burn-in type of application, right? Do that type of things without messing around with the installed apps, right? So you could blame it on a software error or user error or other things. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't have to lose productivity if it doesn't work right. You can just remove the USB drive, reboot the system, and you're right back where you left off.
Sweet, sweet.
The other thing I haven't heard anybody talking about is, according to somebody at Microsoft, they're working on parallel development cycles right now for Exchange, SharePoint, Link, Office, Visio, and I forget what else. There were a couple of other things. It wasn't SQL.
Oh, no. Visio. Okay.
Yeah.
In that family. Interesting. Okay.
But the reason why I think that's significant is because by doing that, we've had cases in the past where Microsoft will release a new product right along the same time as a new operating system, but not completely in parallel. Like, we saw this with Exchange 2007. It came out really close to Windows Server 2008, but you couldn't install it on Server 2008 until the first service pack came out. Mm-hmm. You know, now Microsoft's taking the smart approach, releasing the new operating systems first, and then they're coming along later on and releasing all of the new server products that are going to install on those. And by developing those in tandem, I think we're going to see a higher degree of interoperability between all the various products.
Yeah, it's got to be an easy administrative domain for your OS, your apps, your whole stack, your virtualization stack. You know, it's all got to flow in, and you don't want to say, well, we got to wait a year for Service Pack 1 for the proper OS support. Yeah, you don't want to have that. So that would be an outstanding kind of development cycle stagger, if you will, alignment. That would be outstanding.
Yeah, and really it makes sense for them for another reason. They're marketing Office 365 as a single product. And yet, as it stands today, the products within Office 365, Exchange, SharePoint, and Link only loosely work together. You know, by developing the next generation of these products at the same time in parallel, you'll get a much tighter integration.
That's cool. It's a good thing to remember. I know that when I used to administer SQL, and I'm struggling to remember, I think it was SQL 2008, came out very late in the year, or maybe it was 2005, very late in the year, probably because of Windows Server 2008 R1, right? And so as a application administrator, right, you know, you have your OS deployments and then your app deployments, you just have to have that in line. So yeah, that would be a great decision. How about anything that, you know, you think's missing or, you know, not quite fully satisfied, anything that you're seeing this week?
Yeah, the one big thing that I'm definitely not satisfied with is Windows Intune. You know, they're advertising it as a mobile device management solution, but it mostly revolves around the same ActiveSync mailbox policies that we have in Exchange 2010 today. And I asked them, you know, why not just use Exchange instead? And their answer was, well, it can manage PCs as well as mobile devices, which, okay, I'll give them that. You know, it can manage it to a degree, not to the extent SysConsider can.
Sure.
But then the other thing that they said is that you can sideload software onto mobile devices through Windows Intune, which is a great feature.
Right.
But then I started really looking at it, and they don't support sideloading for Windows Phone for some reason.
Really?
They said it's because the phone has to be put into developer mode before you can sideload anything on it, and they don't want to do that. So
now, I'm an Android guy, okay? So Windows Phone, is that like pre-Mango, or is that all versions?
No, that's Mango.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Because I understand, you know, Mango was the arrival, right? And life
right.
was great.
Oh,
but even with Mango, still, that's the case.
Yeah, Mango's fantastic. But, yeah, they're not going to let you sideload software through.
Wow.
But I think that's going to be a temporary problem because, you know, Windows Phone 8's right around the corner.
Yeah, true. Yep, again, so the OS needs to come first and then the
exactly.
apps. Yep. Interesting development.
But one thing I will give the Windows Intune guys is they've had three major releases in, I think it's 15 months. You know, that's...
That's incredible.
Really. That is.
Yeah. And I can say that from our own standpoint as well. Major versions once a year hurt enough, right?
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Brian, what's going on your side, right? I know, are you still doing the backup school?
Oh, yeah. Doing that through the end of the year.
Gotcha. And big cities? Coming to a city near you, right?
Yeah. I think we're doing 27 cities.
Wow. Like, who's the sponsor? Where can people go find information about that?
Well, you know, it's funny you ask. Veeam is sponsoring
some
of them.
Okay. All right. But, I mean, is it a Tech Target event? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a Tech Target event. It seems like they have different sponsors in each city.
Yeah, sure. I'll find it and I'll put a link to it in the podcast notes. Yeah, guys, definitely check that out. And Brian, that's a very product neutral, you know, it's a backup data protection strategy driven seminar, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I talk about technology rather than products. I mention products here and there, but certainly no vendor bias or anything like that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and that's really the value, guys. You know, you have to really develop your requirements and your solution and your strategy and then backfill the products to it. I'll tell you that. Here at Tech Ed, I'll tell you that on a webinar. I'll tell you that on Twitter. Oh, by the way, Brian, you should join Twitter. No.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. And, Brian, you blog all over the place. Any names you want to throw out? Any sites?
In the interest of fairness, I'll just go ahead and keep it mum. There's
not
too
nice.
Many. I don't
yeah,
want to leave anybody out.
Yeah, Brian's really well known in the Microsoft community, guys. And I'm happy to, again, have him back in the podcast. And those of you going to be at Tech Ed Europe next week, Veeam will be there, I'll be there, and Brian, probably see you at Tech Ed next year.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to come out and see me later on, I'm doing storage decisions in Chicago next week, and I'm doing backup school in Phoenix and San Diego the week after that.
There you go. Brian Posey, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, there you go.